there's going to be some good things along the way. There's going to be some not so good things along the way, but you will be able to successfully navigate that throughout that time. So don't be afraid of the uncertainty or ambiguity. Sometimes you're going to get some surprises in your life that you weren't expecting. Sometimes when you ask about expectations, we have to be willing to modify our expectations, because when you set your expectations too high, you set yourself up for disappointment.
What's up, y'all? I'm Amber, aka Ambie, and this is Ambiguity with Ambie, an interview podcast where we speak to guests about what it was like for them to encounter countless spaces and moments of uncertainty and ambiguity. And through that, we discover and learn from how they navigated it. Let's get into today's episode. What's up, y'all, and welcome to Ambiguity with Ambie, where we discuss what it's like to navigate spaces of uncertainty and ambiguity. I'm your host, Amber, aka Ambie, and today I am joined by one of the most amazing women that I know. She has been my role dog for years. She has seen me through some things, given me amazing advice. Time and time and time again, we are joined by one of my nearest and dearest friends, Edwina.
You're making me blush. People are going to see me blush through the audio.
Yes, she is such an amazing woman. And I've had the opportunity to get to know you so well over the years. But for our listeners that have not had the opportunity, tell them a little bit about who Edwina is.
Oh my goodness. Where do I start? I am a wife. I've been married for almost 6 years.
Girl.
Yeah, that's crazy. I feel like a real grown up now. I am currently looking out at the ocean. I live in Okinawa, Japan. This is amazing. Yes. I'm a psychologist for federal government.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, yeah. I am over here trying to live my best life while maintaining contact with people I love in the States like you.
Oh. Okay, so you've told the people a little bit about who you are, but I want them to get a deeper understanding of exactly who Edwina is. So we're going to jump into a segment I like to call Fast Five.
Okay.
So with this segment, I'm going to ask you 5 questions, some of them either or, some of them just kind of general questions, and we're going to see what your answers are. Just kind of go with what your best answer is at the moment.
Got it.
If you had to choose between laundry and dishes, which one would you choose?
Oh, that's hard. I'm going to choose dishes.
Okay. So while you washing these dishes, let's assume it came from the best meal that you have ever had. What would that meal be?
Ooh, that's a good transition. I think the best meal I ever had, I think I might have cooked it actually. No, it was bacon wrapped filet and I think some homemade scalloped potatoes and some kind of vegetable. And of course, there's wine glasses that will have to be washed too. And dessert plates, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Come on, wine. I love it. So after you've had this amazing meal, let's say you're pampering yourself. Are you getting a massage or are you getting a facial?
I'm going to get a massage. I haven't gotten into the facials the way I expected to, especially living in Korea for a couple of years. I kind of regret that, but I want to get a massage. My body tells me when I need a massage, which is all the time.
Come on. I'm right there with you. I'm ready. I'm ready to get a massage myself right now in this very moment right now. And so if you were back in the States taking a road trip across the country, you could only listen to one artist the entire road trip, who would you be listening to?
Am I in the car by myself or with my husband?
The details of it all. Either or.
By myself, which is probably not the case because I don't want to drive across the country by myself. But
heard that.
By myself, Who am I listening to? I got something for you. This is probably not answering your question, but here's what I do.
Okay.
Because I stay out like a smorgasbord with everything.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is put Pandora on, and I'm going to put on like 90 hip hop R&B, and that's just going to get me through for all the hours.
I'm
with 5G.
Yeah. I'm with it. You ain't really answered the question, but I'm with it though.
I did a little segue. That's what I do. And as I was answering, thinking of the question, I was thinking of my Pandora channels. But I'll tell you, the channel that I listen to most is Chrisette Michelle.
Really?
Yeah. She's a vibe.
She is. I definitely, like, in college was into Chrisette Michelle heavy.
See, I don't think she has enough to get me across the country. But when Letty comes in, Heather Headley, and Tamia, like, they get me through. So I'm just singing the whole time. And then some gospel songs come in there, like Yolanda Adams will pop up. And I'm like, see? Boom.
Girl, you gonna make me tune in to Chrisette Michelle.
I think I date myself, too, because apparently most people don't listen to Pandora. Like, that's, like, old school. So.
No. Well, maybe it is for, like, the new generation. But right now, we are on the same wavelength. But I hadn't listened to Chrisette Michelle. Like, Beyonce, Pandora be, like, hidden for me.
Yeah.
But I'm with it. I like the vibes. And final question of Fast Five. Have you ever faced ambiguity or uncertainty in your life?
Oh, my goodness. The short answer, of course, will have to be yes, right? Longer answers are, in my line of work, I deal with ambiguity every day. And I deal with people dealing with ambiguity every day. So yeah, I definitely deal with it frequently. So do we want to talk about my personal life, professional life? Which would you prefer?
Let's sprinkle it all in there, just as you see fit. Girl, we're going to let the Lord lead this thing. So when I ask you if you can give us an example of a time where you face ambiguity or uncertainty in your life, like, what comes to mind? Do you have an example of a time when you face it?
Yeah, so I was thinking about that. You know, it seems like an easy question, but it wasn't, because I think I have so many examples. And we might get to this later, but I think a lot of people, I don't want to say struggle with ambiguity, because of course that's given, but a lot of people don't like ambiguity, right? Like they shy away from it, or it's frustrating, or it causes more issues or anxiety. I don't mind it. It's usually not a struggle for me to make decisions. So I was trying to think of like some smaller examples. And it was just hard because I think there's so many. There was really not one I could pinpoint, if that makes sense. But to be honest, the biggest example of ambiguity in my life relates to the marriage that I previously spoke about. Like at one point, I had to decide if this was something that I could stay in or not. And it was very early on in our relationship. And so what had happened was, not something we can joke about now because things are so much better, but I kind of told my husband at one point, like, I thought he was a psychopath. And I know the seriousness of using that term. But things, you know, after we got married, just were not the way I was expecting. We had a lot of fundamental differences. There were a lot of things that were not what they had seemed before we got married. And so it was a big struggle for me. I got married at 36. So I guess folks can do the math but I got married at 36. And so by that time I had accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. Like I got married because I wanted to, like I didn't need that, if that makes sense. And so when I'm kind of going through, whoa, we just got married a couple years ago. This is what I thought it was going to look like. This is not what it looks like now. Like, financially, I don't need this relationship. We don't have any kids together. Like, I should bounce. But as the Lord helped me through this issue and put very important people strategically in my life, I had to look at it as, oh my gosh, this is a psychopath. I can't do this, because I know psychopaths don't really get better. But some of my other psychologist friends helped me realize, I think essentially this guy has a lot of baggage to unpack.
Yeah.
And basically that the Lord had sent me as a psychologist, who was his wife, to help with that unpacking so that he could be the man that I thought he was before we got married.
Wow.
That makes sense. You know, I talked to my friends, and it was just a small handful of friends that I talked to. And honestly, I was expecting all my friends to be like, girl, you need to leave this dude. This is crazy. What are you talking about? And nobody did that. Nobody said that because they were able to see it from a perspective that I couldn't see on what I was like. This dude is a psychopath. He's crazy. He's a liar. This is nuts. And they were like, no, I think there's some deeper stuff going on there. And I think it's really this. This means, okay, if he can unpack that, or if he can get some assistance from, you know, religious friends and or religious professionals and psychological professionals and you and family, that if it's something he wants, then I think this can be resolved, if that makes sense. So, yeah, that was a bit of a struggle for years, but glad to say, and I say all the time, I only made it through that situation because of God, like, to give me the strength and the patience. And, you know, kind of a funnier piece is I'm a psychologist, so I know how it should go. Like, if you just do this, this is the result. Like, just do this one thing I'm telling you to do. But it didn't go that way, of course. And the funny thing is, you know, he's a fitness professional, and so he does the same thing. Like, babe, you just do this to reach these goals you're trying to attain. So, yeah, God really walked me through that whole situation, and we are now happier than I think we both, either of us, thought we could ever be. Like, we are really living our best life, and I really, really love that. And I'm glad that I had folks in my life, including you, and the Lord to get us through that rough patch, that rough period.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for your openness and sharing that. I want to dive a little bit deeper into something that you said, where you were talking about expectations and ambiguity. So for myself and some of the listeners that are trying to figure out how to navigate what it looks like to be in this space of ambiguity, where the expectations that you had for the season that you're in are not being met. Like, for those that are facing that type of situation, what advice or what suggestions would you have for them?
I think first, don't be afraid of ambiguity or uncertainty, right?
Mm-hmm.
The issue often with uncertainty is, of course, we don't know the outcome. We lack control in that situation. And some people don't handle that very easily. And, you know, it can be either end of the spectrum. Like, if you can't control things, it can cause this anxiety type of reaction. Or if you're trying, you know, if you don't care at all about any of it, then you just kind of make these risky, lackadaisical decisions. And so I say, don't be afraid of making decisions. I have folks close to me, like folks in my life or my family, who hold off on making a decision because of the ambiguity, because of the uncertainty, because they don't know how it's going to go. Like, okay, do I want to apply for this job or apply for, do I want to apply for this job or not? Let's say.
Listen, don't we put my business out there?
And so, because you're like, oh, what about this? I would have to move, and it's, you know, it's only this much money, and what about, and so there's all these factors that are precluding you from making the decision. And then let's say, for example, you missed the deadline to apply for the job because you couldn't decide on applying for the job. Well, indecision is a decision, right? So couldn't figure out which road to take, and then the decision gets made for you. And some people actually prefer that, because now, well, I didn't have a choice. I couldn't apply for it. But you couldn't apply for it because you couldn't get on the road to make a decision. And so, yeah, I just, folks who are dealing with stuff like that, like, I try to help realize every decision we make, like, for us, am I going to go to college or not? Which college am I going to go to? Like, you never know how that's going to work out, but you have to pick something. And so there's going to be some good things along the way. There's going to be some not so good things along the way, but you will be able to successfully navigate that throughout that time. So don't be afraid of the uncertainty or ambiguity. Sometimes you're going to get some surprises in your life that you weren't expecting. Sometimes when you ask about expectations, we have to be willing to modify our expectations, because when you set your expectations too high, you set yourself up for disappointment, right? Because, and I guess I'm getting off into my other tangent, can't control the way we control our disappointment in other people is modifying our expectations.
Okay. Keep going. Sorry.
No, we can't control those other people. So we get frustrated about that all the time. Like, my husband won't do the dishes. Going back to the dishes. Hypothetical example. He's fine with the dishes, but he won't do the dishes. And I want him to do the dishes by, 9:30 every morning. And that's my expectation. And so he never does that, because he's a grown man. He can do the dishes when he wants. And so I get frustrated every day because the dishes aren't done by 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make him do the dishes.
Yeah.
By 9:30. And or we can get in a fight every day about the dishes, because he wants to do the dishes by 5, right? So how critical is it for me to have the dishes done by 9:30? Mm-hmm. Is it worth getting into a fight every day? Or can I change my expectation and be like, okay, fine, the dishes will be done by 5. Cool. I don't have to do them. 5 o'clock is fine. Or if I want the dishes done by 9:30, guess what the other option is? I do the dishes by 9:30. Yeah. So I change my expectation. I let go of this control thing that I have, because I either need to do it myself, respect him to do it at the time that he wants to do it, or find some other type of compromise. But we hold people to these high standards and expectations, and then they don't meet our expectation, and then we're disappointed. Guess what they're doing? They're feeling fine.
But how? This is always the question. It always comes back to this question, because y'all, we have all these types of conversations all the time. My question becomes, how? So you're in this space of ambiguity. You're in the space of uncertainty. You have these expectations. And because these expectations were not met, you find yourself in the midst of this ambiguous situation and this uncertain situation, because what you expected to happen and what you wanted to happen or what you asked to happen did not. Like, how going forward in the future do you work to not set that kind of expectation? Like, how do you practically adjust the expectations that you set, especially if you're one of those people that operates at that level of expectation that you have? Like, how do you make the adjustment?
Humility and compromise.
Ooh.
Mm. You have to humble yourself. And you use the keyword in there, the things that you want. You and me and the rest of us are not going to get everything that we want every time. Yes. And so we can have these, again, discord and arguments and frustrations with these other people who are walking around feeling just fine. And we're the ones that have the tension. Or we can modify our expectations and realize, I want this. I would like the dishes to be done by 9:30, but they don't have to be done by 9:30. It's his house too. If this week is his dish week and he's going to get them done by 5, can I be okay with that?
Yeah.
The answer can be, yes, I can be okay with that. Or I'm willing to do the dishes at the time that I want the dishes done. Now, if I'm going to have that mentality about a bunch of stuff, then I'm going to be doing the majority of things in the house. Like, I want the dishes done like this. I want the ironing done like this. I want, the dusting done. Like, I'm going to be doing everything because I want it my way.
Ooh.
And once you live with another human being and you start to have a life with another human being, everything is not going to go your way. Everything's not going to go his way. And one thing I did learn is, I used to be very nitpicky and I wanted everything the way I wanted it. And if something was off, I'm a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
So if something was off, I would bring it up to my husband. I'm like, hey, this is bothering me a little bit. And he would try to modify it or fix it or change whatever. And I kind of asked him the same thing about me. Like, why don't you ever ask me to change anything or do anything differently? He's like, it doesn't bother me. Like, you don't do it the way that I do it, but it's not enough for me to bring it up and ask you to change it. Mm. And I was like, well, dang, you just overaccepted me the way I am, huh? You just accepted me. You just chilling about the issue. Like, this is not how you would do it. It could bother you, but you're not letting it bother you.
Mm.
Okay. I see what you did there. Let me humble myself and try that a little bit. It turned out it works.
Ooh.
So that whole thing, situation that you just said, just mind blown. But I shouldn't say but, because I still stick by that. Mind blown. The follow-up that I have is based on something that you said about your husband just kind of simply accepting you how you are, like in where you are. So when we are in these, especially when it comes to relationships, when we're in these ambiguous spaces, whether it be romantic or platonic or whatever, how do we sometimes learn to like accept people where they are, how they are? Like, what, in your opinion, what does that look like, or what can that look like? Because I do feel like sometimes there is uncertainty in relationship and even within ourselves, because we struggle to accept ourselves and others simply as we are or as they are. So how would you suggest myself or a listener navigate that space?
Yeah, I alluded to this earlier, but we can't change other people, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big proponent of assertive communication. And so I think at some point you have to decide what's worth bringing up, right? So I wanted to bring up everything. How you fluff the pillows, how you make the bed when it's your turn to make the bed. Like, I wanted to bring up all this stuff, and it just didn't bother him. And so can I just learn to better navigate in this space, in this relationship, without things being that super perfect the way that I want it, right?
Yes.
We can't change other people. We can ask for it, but by the time you keep asking for a bunch of stuff all the time, are you trying to change that person to be somebody else? I'm used to helping people change themselves, right?
Yeah.
But the people who come to me want change.
Oof.
So in my relationship, if it's not something he wants to change and it's not something that has to change,
yeah,
can I let it go? There's some big things that are critical, right? I need you to be honest with me. I need you to be faithful to me. I need you to love me. You know what I mean? Like, there's some smaller things that are just not worth the argument. So I was constantly trying to change him and or to help him, going back to those initial issues that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn to let him make the changes on his time frame, right?
Yeah.
So he had to buy in to the change that needs to be made. And so that's where God helped me really be patient and step back. And I promise you, a good friend of mine, when I was working in Texas, she let me borrow her mother's book that was called The Power of a Praying Wife.
Wow.
And when I stopped trying to change him and I started praying about God influencing this man in certain different areas, everything changed.
Wow.
Everything changed. So he decided to make changes on his own, at his own rate, in his own time. And I stopped. I had to have faith. I had to give it over to God. Instead of, let's just use finances as an example. This isn't an issue in our relationship, but let's just say my husband was very irresponsible with money, or, you know, he was just spending, you know, in a way that wasn't helpful for our relationship and the goals that we have. Instead of me nagging him about, oh, can you stop spending money? Or can you stop spending money on this, right? He's a grown man. He gets his own paycheck. He technically do what he wants with the money, but it's not helping us achieve our goals, hypothetically. In that book, there is a chapter about finances,
mm-hmm.
where you pray for your husband and his finances, your collective finances. And so I stopped trying to talk to him hypothetically about money and what to do with money and pray to God to influence his money making decisions, financial decisions.
Wow.
And then everything started to change. Does that make sense? And so you just, you have to humble yourself and realize you're not right all the time and everything's not going to go the way that you want. And then that compromise, like, do I need the dishes done at 9:30 or is 5 o'clock? Okay. Yeah. 5 o'clock will be good enough.
That's it.
That's good. That's good. Oh, man, that's so good. With that, I want to circle back to something you said at the very beginning of the podcast. You mentioned the concept of navigating ambiguity and uncertainty, or people finding themselves in ambiguous and uncertain situations because they're unwilling to make a decision. And I wanted to know if you had any suggestions for anyone that struggles in that area with the concept of making decisions. Some stuff I'm good at making decisions with. When you want to know where I want to go to eat, I never know. Never know. So some stuff I'm like, yeah, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. I can see it. But like, okay, I don't know if I want food.
Why do you not know where you want to go eat? What's hard?
I don't know. I know I'm hungry and the solution is food. Where that food comes from, doesn't matter.
Okay. So usually or often folks struggle with something like that when there's other people involved. Is there a difference when you're by yourself and other people? Because we don't want to pick a place that
other people don't want
to the other people. Yeah.
Mm, okay. Right. I can't say that I've had that, but like the other day I had like, what do they call it? Like analysis paralysis. Like I had so many decisions, so many options on Uber Eats. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. This is too much. Okay.
There you go. So again, I was about to say, ultimately the decision is pick one of those places or you don't eat, right? Pick one of those places. And it was peanut butter and jelly for you, which, cool, like you, if peanut butter and jelly is your thing, fine. But you had eight places.
Yeah.
And let's say you just pick one of the eight. What's so bad about that? Like,
nothing.
I'm going to pick this one place today. And the next seven times I want something to eat, I can pick one of the other seven. And then my lunch or my dinner, it might be more tasty than peanut butter and jelly, unless peanut butter and jelly is your jam.
I mean, especially on toasted bread.
I don't believe
throw it in a fried pan. It kind of hits.
But yeah, when people are worried about making the wrong, we make decisions every day. And people are worried about making the wrong decision. There will be consequences, positive or negative, good or bad, with every decision that you make.
Yeah.
And we still need to make decisions, right? You had to decide to pick your body up out of the bed and do what you needed to do for the day. Right?
Yeah.
You had to decide to go to work today. Nobody made you go to work, right? You had to decide to do this podcast and to ask me to do the podcast and anybody else you asked to do the podcast, right? So we have to make these decisions every day. There's going to be consequences. And like I said, the only other option is indecision, and it's still going to be decided for you. So if you want to weigh the pros and cons, if you want to make a list of the positives and the negatives, and then decide based on which one has, you know, more things in the column, fine. Or just allow yourself to be comfortable with uncertainty. And I say it as if it's easy. I know it's not easy for some folks, but you can get there. Like, if we look back over the course of the day, I forget the number, but like we make 30,000 decisions a day, for example. Mm. And you don't even realize you're making those decisions to brush your teeth or not brush your teeth, right? So yeah, just allow yourself to learn to be comfortable with some of that uncertainty. You're going to find out eventually, but it's just delayed gratification. It's going to take you a minute to find out. But that's how life works. That's how business works. That's how starting a business works. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. And so you take a chance, you take a leap of faith, hopefully you pray about it, and then, you know, we'll see what the outcome is. But isn't it like when you get married, you don't know if that marriage is going to last, but you took a chance.
Yeah.
Life is filled with uncertainty, but not letting that uncertainty paralyze you and hold you back continually and allowing all the decisions to be made for you. I just don't think that's the best way to go.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I feel like a portion of what I'm hearing you say is that at some point we have to take a bit of ownership in that space. And when we do, that means that a lot of times the blame that sometimes will be shifted to others or other things can no longer be shifted.
Yep.
And we have to sit in the reality of the consequences, be it good or bad.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, but some folks aren't comfortable with that. Like, if it's my decision and I made the wrong decision, they don't want that versus I didn't decide and it was decided for me. And now we can try to blame that external thing. Absolutely.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Per the usual, this has been so, so, so amazing. Thank you so much for just like all of the amazing suggestions and advice. And I use this word all the time, but wisdom that you share with us, it is so appreciated. And this is always going to be my last question. What, if any, final advice do you have for me or anyone else listening that's facing ambiguity or uncertainty right now?
I think the biggest thing might be being okay with being uncomfortable. So sometimes those big decisions, and again, sometimes the big decisions are small decisions. For you the other day was where I'm going to go for Uber Eats. What am I going to pick up? What food is somebody going to deliver to me? And so we're concerned about disappointing others or making the wrong decision and just giving yourself some grace and leniency and being okay not feeling okay sometimes and letting go of that control sometimes, taking more control sometimes, not paralyzing yourself when it comes to making decisions and allowing everything to happen around you or to you or for you. Like, you're not an active participant in your life. You are a passive participant in your life. Mm-hmm. And so using whatever decision tree or matrix or left, right column, pros and cons, old school, and mapping out how this could possibly go. And then just choosing one of the options and going with it. And if you feel like you made a bad decision, quote unquote, you can use that information as you move forward and make the next decision in the future. It's okay.
Wow. I don't know what it was about that it's okay, but that it's okay hit.
Wow.
Well, thank you so, so, so much for your time and just your amazing, again, advice, suggestions, and wisdom that you share. And special thank you to all the listeners for listening in. And based on what we heard today, I hope you were able to take some of these amazing nuggets of wisdom and figure out exactly how it applies to your life. But until next time, I want to encourage you to, as Edwina said, embrace the uncomfortable as you engage upon this journey of ambiguity and uncertainty. I will see you all next time on Ambiguity with Ambi.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ambiguity with Ambi. I'm your host, Amber Latrice, and I hope you enjoyed our discussion about navigating the uncertain and ambiguous parts of life. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform. And if you'd like to help support the podcast, please be sure to share it with others, post about it on social media, and leave a rating and review. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at @IAmAmberLatrice. Thanks again, and until we connect next time, I encourage you to embrace the uncertain and ambiguous moments of life. Talk to you next time on Ambiguity with Ambi.